Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, I said, praise the Lord, everybody. We serve a mighty God, don't we? We serve an awesome God. We thank God for who he is, simply because of who he is. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. I give honor to the under-shepherd of this house, Pastor Dr. Rupert Bushner Jr. Amen. I give honor to my friend, my auntie, my aunt JoJo. I thank God for your spirit. I thank God for meeting in that tub. We met in the water. Somebody say water. Some things have happened in the Bible in the water. Amen. Jesus was baptized by John in the water. Bible says there was a man that was filled with all kinds of stuff on his body. And the Bible says, God said, go dunk 7 times in the water. So when you think about the water, there's healing in the water. Amen? And I just thank God for your spirit. I thank God for your love. I thank God for your wise counsel. In Jesus' name. Pastor, I appreciate you and your leadership. I appreciate you and your tenacity. Coming and just showing what life should be like as an elder statesman in the Lord. Amen. I thank God for your faithfulness to the cross. Every time I see you coming in there, it just makes me want to continue to press on in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank my beautiful wife, Siobhan. I love you, baby. I love you so much. And she is the pinnacle of what a virtuous woman is. That Proverbs 31 woman, I got her, that's mine. Amen. And my beautiful children, my oldest daughter, Amaya, say hello. And they're a little bashful sometimes. It's my second oldest daughter, Savannah. And then I have a third right there, Barrett Arzell Brooks III, right there. And then I have my son, Xavier Brooks, and my baby girl, Zamara Brooks, my baby boy, Onyx Brooks, and my baby girl, Kyla Brooks. Amen? Amen. So I thank God just for my children. I thank God a long time ago. I said, Lord, I want to do your will, but allow my heritage to move forward. And you're looking at God's promise fulfilled. Amen? And I thank God. I thank God. I wanted to say also that I thank God for this house. There is a special, unique blessing in this house. When I walked in, I felt nothing but the hospitable love and the tender care of people who love God. So I say thank you for the warm invitation. This will not be our last time, but I thank God for just allowing me the opportunity to stand up and give honor to him. Amen. I'm going to pray because this is not about me. This is all about Jesus. And I want to hide behind the anointing in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, first off, Lord Heavenly Father God, I thank you, God, for waking us up this morning, starting us in our right mind, Father God. I thank you, Lord Heavenly Father God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your compassion, Father God. I thank you, Lord Heavenly Father God, for sitting high upon the throne, God. You never sleep, you never slumber, God, but you survey the entire world. You have the whole world in your hands, Father. And God, we thank you, God, for you just dying upon the cross, going to Calvary, shedding your blood for the propitiation of sin. What would we do without you? We'd be lost without you. But we thank you that we hide behind the cross. And Father God, I ask you to decrease me, Father God, that you might increase, Father. That the words be spoken across this pulpit, Father God, would not be mine, Father God, that they would be yours. Lord, I hide behind your anointing right now in the precious name of Jesus. I ask that the words that would flow from me, Father God, would not fall on deaf ears, Father God, but that would be a sweet savor to your nostrils. Touch somebody, Father God. Let them say, what must I do to be saved? And if they know you, Father God, let them continue to say, I want to continue the race in Christ. And Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness, for your mercy, and your glory. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I just want to tell you that I am so appreciative of what God is doing. I thank God for the message that he gave me. And Aunt Jo, you don't know this, but it actually originated through you and some things that have happened recently in your life, the loss of your sister, that's devastating to you, that's hit your family, but you've pressed on in Jesus' name. You've pressed on by the mighty strength of Jesus. And the Lord downloaded in my spirit, and it actually was confirmed by your husband. We were at the gym. We were in the hot tub. And then we got out, and then we started talking. Then we were in the pool. And I could just see that, you know, over the last few weeks, you've been really, really pressing on in Jesus' name. And we start talking about a little issue that was coming across, you know, with things outside of your control, with insurance companies and all kinds of things that try to, when things occur, you got to align certain things to happen. But I've come to tell you today that Jesus is our spiritual life assurance. Amen. Somebody say, Jesus is our spiritual life assurance. Say, not insurance, assurance. There's a very different name, very different topic. If I say insurance, that's limited to a certain amount of time. I might pay a premium, but if I stop paying that premium and that time expires, that coverage is over. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to life, there is an assurance that no matter what you do, Jesus got you in the palm of his hand. There is no expiration date with Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins, and the beauty about it is that he says, behold, I am coming again soon. Amen? And that is the hopeful expectation that we have when it comes to Jesus. I don't plan to be in front of you long. I know a lot of preachers say that, but I'm going to behold and I'm going to try to be true to that word. Amen? The only thing that I can give you is what the Lord gave me, and he actually gave it to me early this morning. He just fine-tuned it a little bit. I didn't really sleep well last night. I was kind of tossing and turning. My wife can attest to that, you know, and she said, honey, just get some rest and get some rest. And I couldn't really ease my mind, so then I turned on, of all things, I went to YouTube and turned on Pastor Bushner. And he was talking about the peace of God. And he was talking about the rest of God. And when you go through certain situations in your life, sometimes Satan is coming up against you because he might know that if you press into that thing on the other side, he has no more power. But you can't do it by yourself. Sometimes you got to be energized and revived, and only you can do that by resting in the peace of Jesus Christ. So I was listening to that, and I got encouragement, and then the Spirit downloaded the rest of the message this morning, and then I turned my phone to the side, and I turned to my wife and said, okay, now I can be at peace. Amen? Amen. So our scripture reading will be very familiar passage of scripture. If you don't mind going to John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. Amen. John chapter 1, and all I have for you is the word, because that's the only thing that sustains us is the word of God. When you have it, say amen. Amen. All right. John chapter 1, verse 1. And it reads, and I'm reading out of ESV. In the beginning was the Word. Somebody say the Word. Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, somebody say all things, were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness to about the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, somebody say, I believe. Somebody say, I believe. In his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but God. And the Bible says in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made known to him. Amen? So what we read in the book of John is very simple. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was God, and in the beginning was the Word. Amen? And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So when I was in school back in the day, there used to be a formula in mathematics. I believe it was called the transitive formula. And it meant if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, right? So it says if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So if God is the Word and is with him all the time, then it rests with him. He is who he is. And Jesus calls himself the Word, the life, the everlasting truth, right? He is the way, the truth, and the what? Life. No man comes to the Father but through him. So we see right there that Jesus is calling himself the Word. We see that Jesus is calling himself the light of the world. We see that Jesus is calling himself the one true God. And we thank God for bringing his son who died upon the cross. Amen? Amen. Amen. So when we think about that, we think about in many situations in our life where when we call upon the name of Jesus and it seems like things have never gone our way. We call upon the name of Jesus to, you know, not get that speeding ticket when we pass it on I-4 and that cop is sitting right there. And then we pass by and you don't see those lights come. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Even though you shouldn't have been going 67 when in a 65-mile zone, right? But we thank God nonetheless for who he is. We thank God that in our times of trouble, that we can always know that Jesus, because he conquered death, hell, and the grave, that in him we can trust and have a hopeful expectation and know that our life is assured when he comes back. And I thank God for who he is and what he has done in our life. I just wanted to give you a little bit of structure as to why Jesus is life assurance and not life insurance. So I'm just going to read you a little bit of what I researched here. It says the primary difference between life insurance and life assurance comes down to the when and why and the payout occurs. While the terms are often used interchangeably in casual conversation, they generally refer to two distinct types of financial, in this term, protection. Life insurance is designed to cover a defined period or specific event. It is a contract that pays out only if the insured person dies, somebody say, during the term of policy. So the structure is term-based. You pay a premium for a set period, whether it's 10, 20, 30 years, and the payout, if you pass away during that term, the policy is paid out during, the death benefit is paid out to the beneficiaries during that period, right? So if the term expires and you don't die and that person's still alive, the policy ends. And there is what? No payout, right? Because the term has expired. The primary goal, to provide financial protection for the family or dependents while you are in your peak earning years, covering the things like mortgages, education, funeral costs, home improvements, and things like that. But life assurance is generally designed to cover your whole life. It is a contract that is guaranteed to pay out eventually, because everyone passes away eventually. You understand that? Everyone passes away eventually. Thank you, Jesus. The structure is permanent. It's not limited to time. It's not limited to space. It's not limited to matter. It's permanent. Somebody say, Jesus is permanent. As long as you keep paying the premiums, or the policy is structured as paid up or paid in full, the coverage remains in force unto death. The payout, the benefit is guaranteed to be paid to your beneficiaries when you die. Somebody say, regardless of whether it is 5, 10, 15, 20, or 30 years. Many life assurance policies, such as whole life or universal life, include a cash value component. Over time, a portion of the premium can be used to accumulate, and you're able to borrow against that. But the primary goal, to provide guaranteed inheritance, cover financial expenses, or manage estate taxes, often serving as a long-term planning and wealth transfer tool. So we see the difference between life insurance and life assurance is the term and the potential to be paid out. With Jesus, the payout is permanent. He died upon the cross to save the lost. The Bible says once for all. He doesn't have to die again because he's already dead. Amen? But the Bible says when we die, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? So when you know you are covered in Christ and you have the hopeful expectation that Jesus is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then you know that your assurance is in him. Amen? You don't have to worry about the 20, the 30, the 40, the 50 years that you may live, because it has no bearing on the guaranteed payout of the eternal reward of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So when you think about that, when you think about your life, when you think about the situations and circumstances that we all go through, when we are tested and struggling with trials and tribulations, and the Bible says, and Jesus said, in this life, you will have many trials. But then what I love what he said after that, he said, but don't fear, fear not. For what? I have what? Overcome the world. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? So when we think about spiritual life assurance, we know that it's permanently tied to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is our hope and our expectation of truth. And we see a lot of these experiences in the Bible. You see it in the Old Testament. You see it in the New Testament. And what I love is the book of Job. I talk about it all the time with First Lady Joe and Pastor many times because it's so applicable, I think, to many of our lives. When you're walking in Christ, When you know you're doing God's will for your life, you better believe that Satan is going to come after you. You better know that there is an X on your back because he wants to stop what he wants to stop you from fulfilling God's purpose and plan for your life. But how many know that there is an intercessor? Amen. How many know that there's an intercessor and his name is Jesus, and he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's constantly every single day pleading our case, because the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He goes up before God day in and day out and tries to sway God's opinion of you. He tries to go up there and says, look at Joe, look at Bear, look at Pastor Rupert. In this moment, he's not doing what he's supposed to do, but somebody says, Jesus says, they're my children. They're covered. Now, I'm going to tell you, I got my 7 kids right here, right now. So at some moments in their life, sometimes I don't know whose kids they are. I said, that's their mama's blood. When they're doing well, okay, that's my DNA. But when they ain't doing well, that's their mama's DNA. No, I'm just kidding. But I accept them and I love them regardless, right, of the situation. As they grow up, I'm pretty sure they might make some choices, life choices, that I might not personally agree with. But that doesn't stop them from being my children. They are going to be my children for their whole life. They can guarantee that I'm going to be their father for their whole life. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how much they reject me as their father. At the end of the day, you can't change the DNA that's inside you. So if you got God's DNA inside of you, then you know whose you are. You know who you belong to. Jesus would, many times when he was on the earth, he would talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he would call them hypocrites. He called them a brood of vipers. He said, you are of your father, Satan, the devil. He is the father of lies. We don't want that in that association. We want to be covered by Jesus. Jesus, amen? We want to know that God is for us and with us at all times, even in our most desperate hour. Even when life's circumstances, when you don't have enough money in the bank, right? When your car is broke down, when you got a little case of sciatica right there, when your body is not feeling good. Right? Even if you keep on exercising, if you keep living long enough, you're going to experience something that you won't be able to shake with your own power. And you're going to need Jesus. You're going to need an external source to help infuse power within yourself. And the external source that we're talking about is the great Jesus Christ. Amen? There's nothing that we can do without him. I'm reminded of the book of Job, but I'm also reminded of the book of Daniel. That's one of the most powerful books that I read many times in the Old Testament because it shows the glory and the majesty of who God is. And I'm going to ask you to go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 verses, we'll start at verse 8. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Now, I do perspire a lot, so y'all bear with me. No pun intended. Amen. That's why I got my handy dandy towel right here. And we're going to start at Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. And we're going to read this story because I believe there's so much truth in God's word and how it applies to where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And I'm going to read. It says, therefore, at the time certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom that you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And let me stop right there. How many times have you been in this world when you know you serve the one true God, right? But yet Satan or situations or other people go to some sort of authority figure in your life and they try to badmouth you. They try to talk down about you. They try to go behind your back to try to make you look bad, right? It happens to us all in many times and many situations, but then you have to rest and assure that you know that you serve the one true God, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And when you focus on that, when you know who you serve, it doesn't matter what's in front of you. It doesn't matter if there's a fiery furnace in front of you. It doesn't matter if you're looking at death. It doesn't matter if you're looking at situations where you see it and you can't visually understand what's going to go on, but you have to know that you know that you know that Jesus is your spiritual life assurance. So if it requires your soul, you got to know that on the other side of that thing is assurance in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's keep reading. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now that you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" So this is Nebuchadnezzar trying to be God, trying to act like God, thinking that he has all the power in the world and trying to force you into submission. But how many know when you stand for righteousness, when you stand for Jesus, you will not be swayed. You will not fall down. You are an overcomer. Amen? That is a true message of hope. Amen? That is where you can stand true and know that your enemies, no matter what they say to you, no matter what they charge you with, no matter what they threaten you with, you have to know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ will rescue you out of all your troubles. Amen? Amen. We'll keep reading. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God," somebody say, "our God, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." So I guess the question I have for you is, who's the real king? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who is the one that triumphs over any president, over anybody in this world that says, "I am the ultimate authority"? Who is the one? His name is Jesus. Amen? There's nobody that can compare. Hallelujah. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. He was so angry, and he ordered some of the mighty men of the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Wow. Are you willing to die for your Savior? Are you willing to pay the ultimate price, which is life, and giving up that thing for this thing? That's the question that Jesus has for us all. Will we serve him even though death is staring at our door? Will you love him? Will you keep his commandments regardless of the situation? 7 times hotter. And they said, "We will do it." And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we cast three men bound into the fire? Uh-oh. Come on now. So when Jesus is on your side and the enemy looks like he's winning, don't fret. Don't fret. Because the Bible says that God will use the foolish things to confound the wise. What makes sense to the world doesn't make sense to God. And what makes sense to God doesn't make sense to the world. Amen? So when you're going through a situation or circumstance, and then that situation has the ability to impact you, fear not. Fear not. You got them scratching their heads at this point. The Bible says he was astonished. They said, they answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire. And they are what? Not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace and declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the what? Most High God. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from what? The fire. And the satraps and prefects and the governors and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire, what? Had not had any, what? Power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads were not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God. Somebody say, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the presence of Babylon. Amen, and amen, and amen. What do we learn from this story? What do we see when you're faced with trial, when you're faced with adversity, when you're faced with struggle? Just know that God's got your back. Just know that even if you go into that fire, even if you go into that situation, he has a purpose and plan designed just for you. You may not understand it. You may not even agree with it. But if you trust, you will overcome. Amen? We thank God for the reading of his word in that regard. I thank God for just who he is and what he's done. And I just have three points of application. Three points of application that I think are so beneficial to our lives in this situation. When we think about life insurance, when we think about paying premiums, we think about us giving over the payment, right? But I come to submit to you that Jesus has already paid the price. He's already covered you. He's already went to Calvary. All we got to do is walk in obedience. Pastor said earlier, be willing and be obedient. We must be willing and obedient to do what other people won't do. Because other people will bow down to false gods. But we will stand straight when we recognize that we serve the Most High God. And on that great day when Jesus returns, the entire world will know that the one true wise God was God from the beginning. Because the Bible says he is the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. The everlasting Father. Amen? So my first point is to not trust yourself. Think about that. Don't trust yourself. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge who? Him. And he shall direct your path. When you lean on God and when you trust in his plan, rest assured and be guaranteed that you will never fail. You can't fail when you're in God. Amen? Because Jesus, it's impossible for God to fail. It's impossible for God to lose. Satan has already lost. He wants you to think that he has an opportunity to stand and go toe-to-toe with the Most High God. But you have to know his origin from the beginning. You have to know that he's a liar. You have to know that he started lying way before the Garden of Eden when he was up there and thought to himself, I want to be like the Most High. So tell me, he wanted to be like the Most High, but he will never be the Most High. So why in the world would the world serve a counterfeit? Why would you spend all your days thinking that because I have all the money in the bank, I got a good job, I'm comfortable, because in this life, money can help with that situation. But how many people know, the Bible says, Jesus said, it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, right? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Because money has a way of impacting things. Money has a way of making you, given heaven, you have this false comfort. And money has a way of becoming a god if you allow it to. So that's why we always have to know that we may have good paying jobs, we may drive a nice car and all those things, but we have to thank God because he is our blessed assurance that if those things go away, we still have comfort and truth in him. Amen? No matter what. Point number two. God created all things, and knowing that he did, trust that he knows more than you. Amen? Because he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting Father, because he knows all those things, he's omniscient, he knows everything, he was not created, he created everything, we have to know that we know that we know that his plan, his purpose, his intent is better. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And my third point, he will fulfill his promises. The blessed assurance that Jesus will return for those who have been faithful through his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? I would like you to go just for my final passage. I'd like you to go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Revelation 22 and verse 7. When you have it, say amen. Amen? All right. Now, these words are in red. Everybody know what that means in the Bible, huh? Who's talking? Jesus, the King, the Master, right? Our spiritual life assurance. He said, and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Amen? When we know he's coming soon, we trust in his word. And if you go down to Revelation 22, we'll go to verse 12. He said, behold, he said it again, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about the things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Amen? Amen and amen. So I just leave with you. Trust Jesus. Know that God knows everything, therefore trust him. And know that he is coming again soon. And when we trust in that, we know that he is our spiritual life assurance. We don't have to pay the price because he paid it for us. So no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, know that Jesus is the way, the truth, in the life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be with you, God. We thank you, God, for the opportunity for your word that was just forever settled in heaven, Father. We ask, God, Heavenly Father, God, that your spirit just would saturate us, God. Your love would remind us, God, of what you've done for us on Calvary. We ask, Lord, Heavenly Father, God, that as we leave this place, Father God, that we would remember that you are our spiritual life assurance. That no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what we go through, Father, you will be with us. You will bless us. You will keep us. You will watch over us. We thank you, God, for your sacrifice. We ask you, Lord, Heavenly Father, God, that you would just bless us this day. We thank you, God. A special prayer for my Aunt JoJo, God. I thank you for giving her 66 beautiful years, Father. I ask you, Lord, Heavenly Father, God, to continue to just give her more life, Father God, to give her strength and peace during this time of transition in her family, Father God. I ask you to bless this church, Father God. Bless pastor. Bless the worship team. Bless the musicians, Father God. Bless the cameramen, God, Lord. We thank you, God, for they are truly a pillar, Lord, Heavenly Father God, that your word goes forth from this pulpit and is forever settled in heaven. We give you the glory, the honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you.